And after the communion, there were jostles of particles on the ground. And his fellow saw the ground just littered with sacred particles after communion. Everybody was out of the church, looked all around. Priest was gone. So he thought. So he went stealthily and in a large handkerchief began putting the particles from the ground into the handkerchief. The priest would offer the mass and I left the sacristy. He saw his young big bruiser picking up these particles. What are you doing? So he said, well, I'm picking up the particles from the ground. But he shouted, get out. He didn't move. Get out. Still didn't move. Then the man told me, the priest was much smaller than me. But this fellow allowed himself to be dragged by the collar out of the church by the priest. If I talked from, is it April the 13th?
Yes.
April the 13th, 1998. I could not tell you how deeply concerned is the Vicar of Christ over the loss of faith in the real presence in a country like ours. And this cannot go on. And then priests, as I've said this, you don't lose. I'm not sure I've given you the figure in our lecture so far. Vatican figures are over 10,000 priests in the United States have left the priesthood. And the reason is not the burden of authority. The reason is not women. The reason is that so many either never really understood the real presence in the first place, or gave up. Nobody loses the Catholic faith, gave up their faith in the real presence. I will not identify the seminary, but in the last 2 weeks, I was talking to a seminarian from a large archdiocese in America. He told me, maybe you did not know, but we have seminarians sent here from communist China. They go to the seminary. They are members of, well, the National Church, approved by the communist government. And the seminarian was strongly defensive of what these seminarians from communist China in the United States, do you hear me? What they're telling American Catholic seminarians. That's why I'm here, and thank God that you're present. Somebody had better still have the faith of Christ's presence, the living Jesus, in our midst on earth today. Where do I take two more questions and then break, and we'll continue then with the next course after the break on homosexuality. Question 101. Were there erroneous ideas about the Eucharist in the early church? And remember, one of our answers is taken either verbatim or in paraphrase from Paul VI. He says, yes, among other early fathers of the church, Saint Cyril of Alexandria rejected as folly the opinion of those who claimed that if a part of the Eucharist was left over after Mass, it did not confer sanctification. Said Cyril, neither is Christ altered or his holy body changed, because even a small particle of the host, say, falls to the ground, that is Jesus Christ. In 102, during the persecution in the early church, how did Christians show their devotion to the Eucharist? We've said this before, we will now repeat and clarify. They would receive Holy Communion even daily from a priest or deacon, or even by themselves in the absence of a priest or deacon. The reason for this was the need for sustaining grace in those centuries of martyrdom. We need this reminder of the early Christians to strengthen our faith in the power of the Holy Eucharist, to give us the grace we need to remain faithful in our own age of martyrdom. Yet, if I say it 1,000 times, it's worth it. This is the age of martyrs. No other bishops will survive. No other priests will survive. No other married people will survive. No other single people. No other religious. No Catholic will survive unless in today's age he or she has the heroic faith of a martyr. I think I've quoted him before. Colonel O'Connor told me, and we shook hands over his answer. Remember, I told Your Eminence, what America needs is more bishops like St. John Fisher. And there's, is there a Rochester, Michigan, nearby? Whenever I either hear or see that name in print, always think of the Bishop of Rochester, England, remember? John Fisher. The only one of the whole English hierarchy who told Henry VIII, you are living in adultery. Living with your mistress is a mortal sin. Remember, he was thrown into jail. That's John Fisher. His fellow British bishops came to prison when John Fisher was incarcerated. They told him, don't be stupid. All you have to do is say that Henry VIII's marriage to his mistress Anne Boleyn is valid. While you're doing this, you're awaiting execution. Remember what he told them. There are two differences between you and there were several bishops and me. First, I will die sooner than you. You will die too. And secondly, I'm sure of my salvation. I'm not sure of yours. They stopped bothering him. And that's what the Catholic Church in our country needs today. And the principal source of our strength is the Blessed Sacrament. Having covered 102, now, big generous me. Hey, 10-minute break. Father, can't you make it more? No. 10 minutes. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Mater Eucharistiae, ora pro nobis, nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Thanks for being here.